Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Good evening, everyone. So great to see you all tonight. A few months ago, one morning I was praying, and the Lord began to speak to me about censorship. This was probably, I don't remember exactly, but somewhere around June or July. And the Lord really warned me to prepare the church for censorship. And so we began to develop what's now OceansUnite.tv. And so I want to encourage you. First of all, I want to tell you that all our sermons that are normally on YouTube will now be on OceansUnite.tv only, okay? The good news is that you don't have to. You know, you can download the app if you want to get it on the app store or watch it on your computer. There's no charge to watch any of the sermons, okay? It's completely free. But as most of you know, there is a charge for all the premium products, for all the premium material, TV, kids shows, all that stuff. And the only reason why there is a charge is because it's a very expensive product. But the Lord spoke to me and told me to get this thing ready. And look at what's happened in this week. Can you believe it? Amen. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't downloaded it, please go download it so that you can have access to everything. Also, you can go on the App Store or on Android and you can download Oceans Unite Radio. And on that radio station, which you'll have on your phone, it's really just an audio app. And what that will do is it'll give you access to 24 hours of sermons that'll basically be on the whole time. That's what it is right now. But that's going to be a platform where we can also reach people at any time with live products and all kinds of different things that are coming. That's also available, no charge, anything like that. Please go get it. Make sure you have those two apps, OceansUnite.tv and Oceans Unite Radio. And you can have that content, and it's really awesome. We have, right now on OceansUnite.tv, we have 22 different types of shows, which is really awesome. And I believe by the end of the year, there'll probably be, I don't even know. I have no idea, but there'll be a lot. And if you haven't seen Ezekiel's Kitchen, the cooking show, it's absolutely awesome. Amen. So I encourage you to go and download the app, and there's great content. It's really, really awesome. And yes, they are trying to silence voices. Whose voice will be next? I'm not getting political. If you're getting upset, it's your own problem. Jeez, like. I'm not picking anybody's side. I'm saying that if they can silence the president, I'm pretty sure they can silence you. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, it's just, you know, that's a pretty high office to be able to silence. I think if they can do that, they can pretty much silence anyone they want. And I think that it's very clear that this is something that potentially could be a very big problem in the years to come. So I think we should be aware of that. All right, so this evening we are going to get into a subject that I really love talking about. And I don't believe that there's, you know, there's certain subjects in the Bible that you can just talk about all the time. The Holy Spirit, the blood of Jesus, Jesus, the name of Jesus. How awesome Jesus is. You can just talk about that all the time, okay? One of the subjects I really enjoy talking about is the anointing, because I think the anointing is, to many people, a mystery. And the truth is that it shouldn't be a mystery because it's not that complicated. But it is very important, because if you study Scripture, you'll understand that it's without the anointing that nothing happens. But when the anointing is present, a lot of things happen. Last week, we laid a foundation, really. We spoke about how important it is for the church in this season that we're in right now to walk in power. It's important for the church right now to be relevant and to operate the way that they did in the days of the Bible. In order for that to happen, there is a tangible substance that's required. In order for you to be able to operate the way God has called you to operate, I want you to know that the anointing will be required. You are called to be anointed by God for a specific purpose for such a time as this. And if you don't believe it, that's really sad, because I can tell you that you have been anointed. Now, Isaiah 10:27 says this, "It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder, and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing." So in other words, the yoke, and you know, in the old days, you know, the old, you know, when you, as the time has gone on, the Bible, the study of Greek words and Hebrew words, they've actually become sharper with some of the words. In the past, it would be the yoke will be broken because of the anointing. But here, it's a far better description of what the anointing actually does. It totally destroys the yoke. So not only does it break it, but it utterly destroys the yoke. The anointing is, when the anointing is present, people get set free. People's lives are changed. And if we want to really study or understand the anointing, and even Old Testament, if you study Old Testament, you'll see individuals that were anointed by God. What you must realize is that God always uses people. So if you think people aren't important, you're missing it. Because God always uses people. He always uses individuals, groups of people. He chooses people and he uses them. And what he does is he anoints them. And you look throughout the Old Testament, you'll see that. And if you look in the New Testament, you'll see that too. What's important though is that we never lose focus of whose anointing it is. So God may use an individual, but without the anointing, that individual is just the individual. So the anointing comes from one source and one source only. And if it doesn't come from that source, we've got a real problem. So we should never ever look at the anointing as that person is special or that person should be elevated. The truth is that the anointing is something that comes by grace. And what's really important is that we recognize that and take a hold of it. Because the anointing is available to everyone in this new dispensation. But the Bible says that he goes and he looks to see if he'll find faith on the earth. So will you believe that it is your portion? Because he can't anoint what you don't believe. If you don't believe, he'll not anoint you. Now, if we study the anointing, there's really one person in the Bible that we need to look at. And that is Jesus. Can you all agree? So when was Jesus anointed? Now, what inspired me to do this teaching tonight is I did a devotional for OceansUnite.tv, which will be available next week. So it was that devotional that got me really excited and thinking about sharing this message with you. Because I saw something that I'd never seen before and really got me, really did get me excited. So let's go to Mark 1, verse number 9, and take a look at this. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Everybody say, upon him. Upon him. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this is the moment where Jesus' ministry really begins, at that moment, where the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. In other words, God had anointed him in that moment. But what we don't really know is what happened before that moment. What is it that got Jesus to get to that moment? We know that he was around for about 30 years already. We don't hear much about him except for really for one incident where he goes as a young boy and he spends time in Jerusalem at the temple. That's the only true encounter, and he does no miracles and no supernatural acts in that visit, in that story in the book. I think it's in the book of Luke. Is it the book of Luke? John, you must tell me. Okay. So we see that, but we don't know what happened before that. But that was the moment. That was the moment where everything changed for Jesus and he steps into his ministry. And let's take a look at what happens from that moment. Luke 4 verse 14. And in fact, most scholars will agree that this is very, very close, because really if you study the book of Luke, you'll find that what happens is Jesus then goes into the mountain. He spends 40 days in the desert and then the devil comes and tempts him. And then straight after this, what I'm about to read you takes place. Luke 4:14, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. and news of him went out throughout all the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogues on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Why was the Spirit of the Lord upon him? Came upon him when he was in the river, right? Because, here's the reason why the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So we know that Jesus was anointed, and we see, I've told you this many times, we see what seems to be almost like a job description. He's going to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, set liberty those who are oppressed. This is what he does. Now, let's go on a little bit. Let's go to Luke 5 verse 15. Luke 5 verse 15. However, the report went around concerning him all the more. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Now, it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out from every town in Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. How is it that the power of the Lord was present? The power of the Lord was present because he had been anointed. He was anointed to do the works of God. And when he was ministering and while he was preaching, and I want you to see this, preaching, ministering, doing the works of God, something was present. There was power present. So whenever you go about preaching and ministering and talking about God, guess what's going to show up? Power should show up because you're anointed. If you're not anointed, you need to get anointed tonight. Amen? Acts 10 verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. I want you to see that every time Jesus would minister, he would preach the gospel, and he would operate with power. And the anointing would always be present to heal, to deliver, to set free, to touch people's lives. The anointing would always be this substance, this presence. Now remember, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came upon him. So we know if the Holy Spirit came upon him and anointed him, the Holy Spirit must have a large part or an enormous part in the anointing. Now let me show you something. The word anoint in the Hebrew is the word mashach. And the word mashach means to smear, to paint, or to rub. To smear, to paint, or to rub. In the Greek, the word for anoint is the word shrio, or chio. And it means to rub, to glaze, or to appoint. So we can clearly see that when there is an anointing that takes place, there is a rubbing or a smearing that happens. Are you with me? Now, let's bring it into the total natural. So let's leave the spiritual side completely out of it. Let's just be natural for a minute. If I had to say to you, specifically, you know, not from a biblical point of view, I'm going to anoint you with cream because you have an injury on your leg. What it means is I'm going to take some cream, I'm going to put it on my hand, and let's say you have a bruise or something on your leg, we're going to take that cream and we're going to anoint that leg, and we're going to rub it into that wound. And when you rub that cream into that cream will begin to have an effect on that wound. Can you say amen? So we understand that when the anointing comes, or when someone gets anointed, what's happened really is that there's been a rubbing or a smearing that's taken place. Now, if you study Old Testament scripture, you will see that when kings and priests were anointed, something different happened to the New Testament. In the Old Testament, what would happen was they would literally take an oil and pour it over them. They would pour that oil over them and anoint them. Why? Because that fragrance, that oil would come down. The Bible speaks about the oil dripping down the beard of Aaron. Are you with me? And down his robe, it would drip off him because he would be smeared in that anointing oil, because that anointing oil would prove then and basically that he'd been appointed, set apart, and it now was smeared all over him. And it had become part of his body. It had become part of who he was. Are you with me? Now have a look, because it's interesting that in the Bible you will find out that the oil, the anointing oil, was actually more than just olive oil. We tend to think that anointing oil was olive oil. Well, let me give you the ingredients for anointing oil. Exodus 30 verse 23. Now there's a lot of teachings on what every one of these fragrances mean. I'm not going to do that with you tonight. I want you just to catch a concept. Exodus 30 verse 23. Also take for yourself, now he's talking about ingredients for the anointing oil. Take for yourself quality spices. 500 shekels of liquid myrrh. Half as much sweet smelling cinnamon. How many of you know that cinnamon's got quite a nice smell? 250 shekels. 250 shekels of sweet smelling cane. 500 shekels of cassia, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. And a hin of olive oil. So only a hin of olive oil. And you shall make from these a holy anointing oil, an ointment compounded according to the art of the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. And this is so powerful, because this would be mixed and ground and put together, and then it would be given to prophets or to those priests that would now use this anointing oil. So for example, when David was chosen to be king, Samuel came with what they call a horn of oil, and that anointing oil was then poured over David. And when David got up from the ground, because I always imagined that David was on his knees, but maybe he wasn't, who knows? Anyway, David's busy getting anointed, and when he gets up, that oil's dripping down his forehead, it's in his hair. And how many of you have ever had olive oil in your hair? Olive oil doesn't have a very strong smell, right? But have you noticed that afterwards you can smell it? Now, it's very clear that the fragrances from these spices are strong-smelling fragrances, because when you have been anointed, there must be an aroma that comes off you. That's why it's the art of the perfumer. Are you with me? So when they were anointed, people would be able to smell that oil that was on them. Obviously not forever, but there was a symbolism that was taking place. It was symbolic that this person has been set apart and chosen by God with the anointing. Now he's been anointed with this oil, and now there's a fragrance that comes off him. Oh, that's powerful, because I know what I'm about to say. Now you see, it's interesting, because before Jesus is baptized, nothing has happened in his ministry. But after he is baptized, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him, because he has anointed him to do something. Why? You see, the Spirit of the Lord anoints Jesus to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, set at liberty those who are oppressed, destroy the yoke of the devil. Everywhere Jesus went, there was power on him, because you see, he was anointed. When you are anointed by the Holy Spirit, there is a rubbing that takes place, same as that oil that is poured in the Old Testament on the priests and on the kings and on the prophets. There was an aroma released, because it was a sign of approval. That approval was symbolism of what would take place in the New Testament. Because when Jesus came, there's an aroma that comes off you when you are anointed by God. That aroma is released, and when that aroma is released, something happens. That's why when Jesus would walk in the room, the demons would say, "Jesus, Son of God," or "Son of David, what have we to do with you?" Have you come here to torture us? Why? Because there was an aroma that came off him. You see, when you rub and you smear with God, when there's an anointing that takes place on your life, what begins to happen is his nature, his character, who he is, begins to rub off on you. Yes, Jesus was the Son of God, but there had to be an anointing. Now, here's the question. Do you think that the anointing or Jesus' anointing was only on that day? So the question we all have to ask ourselves is, how do we get anointed? And this is the question that I think everybody wants an answer to. Well, you know, the only way to get anointed is to spend 5 hours a day in prayer. And trust me, that works. But you can't always do that. So what happens when you can't? Do you lose the anointing? Well, you know, that pastor over there, he has a thing that if he reads the Bible for 3 hours and then prays for 20 minutes and then takes communion, then he's anointed. And you know, there's another pastor, if you study the generals, you'll find out that another pastor, he had a different way of doing it. If he prayed for 2.5 hours in tongues every day, then God anointed him. It's interesting though, because all of them have one thing in common. You see, it's not necessarily the ritual, but there's one thing in common. Relationship. You see, Jesus was in relationship with God. And then when the time was right, when the appointed time had come, he was anointed. Why? Because there had already been a rubbing. There had already been a smearing. And that fragrance was already on Jesus. That's why Jesus could heal the brokenhearted, because God was on him. That's why Jesus would proclaim liberty to those who were captive, because God was on him. There was an aroma. The fragrance is not important in the Old Testament, but it represents. Because you see, there is nothing unfragrant and beautiful and pleasant about God's presence. When you are anointed in the presence of God. That's why the Holy Spirit represents so much of what the anointing is. It's his presence manifest in your life and on your life. And that anointing, when it comes on you, you will release, not necessarily a scent, but you will release who God is. And that's exactly what Jesus did. And Jesus did it by spending time with the Father. Relationship with God. The key to the anointing, walking in the anointing, is relationship with God. And me as your pastor, or anyone else, must never tell you that you have to do it this way. Because you and I are different. So you don't have to be anointed the way I was anointed. I watched my pastor. I thought that's what I need to do, and I did that, and it worked. But through the years, I changed and became who I am and have relationship with God the way I have relationship with him. I pray more than you all. Sometimes, and sometimes definitely not. The point is it's not about how much who does what. The point is, when last did you speak to him? When last did you hear him? Because relationship is two-way. My daughter said to me the other day, Dad, she said, I have this really big problem. I can't hear God in my head. And I said to her, sweetheart, I want you to know, you never will. Because he doesn't talk in your head. He talks in your spirit. You have to learn to connect with him in your spirit. Because God is a spirit. And he wants us to worship, connect with him, spirit to spirit. Some people might read the Bible and never ever get anointed. Some people might read just a little bit. Some people can play the piano and begin to worship, and the anointing comes. God will connect with you the way that He created you. But what's important is that you spend time with Him. Because when you spend time in His presence, there's a rubbing that begins to take place. There's an anointing that begins to take place. But it will only be effective through your life when you begin to minister to others. You see, Jesus was spending time with the Father, spending time with the Father, developing His relationship with the Father, growing closer to the Father, learning to hear the Father like not when He was a little boy, and it was growing and growing and growing. And then the moment came where the anointing came on Him that needed to be released. That's why it comes upon a believer. But the cultivating of what He has for your life takes place when you are in relationship with Him. You see, if you do that, well, you know, I'm still addicted. Well, of course you're still addicted because you're so worried about your addiction. It's funny how I always come to the youth when I do this. I'll go this side. Oh, now look at all the addicts. I'll go this side. No, just kidding. Don't worry about what you're doing wrong. Get in relationship with Him. And when you're in relationship with Him, He will take care of those things. Because when you're in relationship with someone, you don't want to hurt them. You don't want to offend them. I've said this so many times, but there's so many new people. Haven't you noticed when you hang around someone a lot, you begin to sound like them? Haven't you noticed? One of the most common things about someone who hangs around someone a lot is that person often begins to laugh like that other person. Have you seen that? When you begin to spend a lot of time with God, you begin to sound like Him. When you begin to spend a lot of time with God, not in a religious way, I have to do it, because you desire to do it. If you force yourself to be with your friend, you'll never sound like them. But if you go and hang out with someone because you love them and you enjoy being with them, naturally you'll start to pick up each other's habits. Hopefully God never picks up any of your habits. I don't think He will, okay? That's why He's the one who does the anointing. He rubs. He smears on you. And then you release a fragrance of who He is. And when you know who He is, you'll find out that just by His names, you'll find out who He is. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. He's a captain. He's incredible in so many ways. And that's what will be released out of you when you're anointed. But the anointing is tangible. That's the anointing that I've seen come in when someone prays and that anointing gets released and a demon screams out of a person. It's the anointing that's released, the presence, the manifest presence of God that is released and someone gets healed. And it's very, very discouraging that we don't see more spoken about, taught about when it comes to this, because every believer must walk in the anointing. You are called to walk in the anointing. That is not an exclusive thing. How do I know? Because every one of you carry the Holy Spirit. And every one of you are supposed to have Him come upon you. The Old Testament or the New Testament early church, they all did it. Who decided to change it? You are called to be anointed. You are called to rub, to smear with God, and then that fragrance of that anointing will come on you. Now let me show you something. One scripture, then I'm almost done. Can you believe this? You see, when we use symbolisms from the Old Testament, they're a type and shadow. Psalm 92 verse 10 says this, "But my horn you will exalt like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil." Fresh oil. The only way that fresh oil comes is when you get back into the presence of God. When you get back into relationship with God. I can teach you so many different things, but if I cannot teach you the most important thing for your life outside of your salvation, which is to have a relationship with God, you will be so limited in who and what you are called to do and be, because God has a plan for every one of us. But it starts by desiring Him. If you come tomorrow I'm going to be teaching on the blessed life, part two. And I'm going to be talking about the first key to a blessed life, which really is the foundation for it all. And a lot of it has to do with what I'm sharing with you tonight. It really starts with us changing our posture and making God our priority. When we change our posture and we make Him our priority and we desire Him, the response that comes from spending time and desiring Him is He anoints you. And that anointing will change everything for you. Absolutely everything. I can't make you have that desire. You know, I often say, and I'm looking to see who's really desperate for God. Obviously, I don't know what you're thinking. But when someone is really desperate, have you ever seen anyone desperate before? It's pretty obvious when you look at them, because they become so in want. Let me ask you a question. Who in this room would really love for the Lord to use them? Let's see if no one, okay, very good. That means that every one of you wants to be anointed by God. And it all starts with your desire to be with Him. But I want to set you free. There is no formula for that. It's just relationship. Get into relationship with Him. Yes, there's all kinds of different things and this and that and all that stuff. Man, I tell you what, the more I spend time with Him, the more I realize all the recipes and formulas mean nothing. And all that's left at the end of the day is, God, You are the only one that can touch this person's life. But I know You. I know what Your word says. And I know that You're here with me right now. And then He does it. Are you with me, guys?
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.